Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Buongiorno. I'm here today with my good friend and yours, Mr. Vin Forte. Vin, how are you?
Yeah, I haven't been the same since Uncle Floyd died.
I know. I see. I'm seeing many a tribute online. How, do you want to eulogize?
I think I went to her instead of Catherine O'Hara, who's arguably the much bigger celebrity that people outside of the tri-state area would know.
Yeah. Catherine O'Hara. Lots in the news, as they would say on late night talk shows. Lots in the news.
Yeah, we got a...
I don't know.
How about that? How about that ice?
How about the ice? How about those that new round of Epstein drops, huh? Real heinous stuff.
Oh, yeah. New Epstein
real
drop.
Heinous stuff.
Yeah.
You guys see the new Epstein drop? It's worse than you were imagining.
Who's in this one? Matt Groening? What's going on?
Robin Leach. Lifestyles of the Rich and Pedophilic. Robin Leach. Clinton, of course. Clinton. I could give a shit. I hope he rots. If it's true, I hope Bill Clinton goes to jail and rots there for the rest of his life. I could give a fuck about Bill Clinton. I'm not in a cult. And of course, Trump. And the kind of, well, there's nothing funny about how heinous all this stuff is, but the kind of funny thing is that Elon Musk wasn't there.
Oh, yeah, I heard it. Like,
he wanted to be there.
He wasn't, like, this is the wrong way of saying it, but, like, he wasn't cool enough to be a part of the
insane eyes wide shut terror parties. Yeah,
he was like,
can I please go to your parties? And they were like, no.
You're not cool.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Get out of here, PayPal boy.
Well,
you know who's never going to be in the files? Hopefully, Jackie Chan.
Yes. Although he is a terrible father and quite possibly a homophobe, but goddamn, he's a good movie star, isn't he?
Well, you know who's not? Danny Aiello.
You know what? I'm just going to say yes, even though I have no idea. I hope not. I haven't heard anything about it.
He's dead now, and he was cool with
is he dead?
Spike Lee,
so. I didn't realize he was
Danny
dead.
Aiello, yeah, he's been dead. He died like 2019, 2020.
Really?
2019, like December of 2019, I think.
Danny Aiello. What was his last picture? Come on, Danny Aiello. Actress. Oh, that's Danielle Aiello. Come on, IMDb. Stop fucking around. December 12th, 2019. How old was he when he passed? I wonder.
I'm going to say my guess. Let's see. I'm going to say he was 82. I'm going to put the over under at 82.
He was 86.
Ah.
He lived in Saddle River, New Jersey. That's where he died. Of course, he was born in New York City.
Yeah.
He had four children.
Good for him.
He was the nephew of Michael Kay.
Yeah, he's the
sports broadcast. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the voice of the Yankees.
All right, but you know what?
He's young in this movie. Like, he looks young in this movie.
Ish.
But he's simultaneously like young and old. Like, it's very weird.
Well, he's not a handsome man, which will always make you look, you know, not you so.
Almost, but you almost get more mileage out of not being like traditionally handsome. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you can kind of look that way for much longer.
Oh, I've got nothing but good things to say about Danny Aiello's character, who's also named Danny, and also...
Yeah, like 90... Outfits. I'm going to say a good 40% of this movie is Jackie Chan's character going, Danny!
And then Danny Aiello cursing, being like, I don't know what the fuck, Billy boy, I don't know.
Billy, Saigon's not what it used to be.
Billy,
like, I was
I
here.
Have... Billy, I've got so many great memories of all the sex workers I've patroned over the years.
Remember the scene where they're like on the water? He's like, this place has changed a lot, Billy. There used to be a big restaurant over there.
Yeah.
It's like, and I was like, if you really break down this scene, it's like, so he's complaining that the restaurant he went to like 20 years ago in the Vietnam War isn't there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, listen, to spin it back and bring us to the beginning. Me and Vin are talking about the 1985 movie The Protector, starring Jackie Chan and Danny Aiello, written and directed by James Glickenhouse. I'm reluctant to call this a Jackie Chan movie because he's the star of it, but it doesn't have a lot of the earmarks of good Jackie Chan movies, like really great fighting, really clever using the environment around you in fights. And also, he was unhappy with this movie and actually made his own Hong Kong version of it, where he cut out a lot of the dirtier shit.
He cut out all the sex. He cut out some of the more like overt violence.
And he filmed a bunch of other shit.
He filmed a bunch. He arguably like his cut is arguably worse. Like I would not go seek out his like Hong Kong cut of it.
I haven't seen it. I only watched the OG for this recording.
The way I pitch this to you is like if you're familiar with Jackie Chan movies, like you said, there's a sort of like motif that the real like the ones that he produces and creates, the like there's a motif that those have. And this was early enough between like him sort of making a small name for himself in Hong Kong and Asia and him breaking out in America that like this kind of just like slipped in as like it's got it has the hallmarks of an early Jackie Chan movie, but like a grittier version.
Well,
One
this
that like I'm like
movie.
imagine him doing a Jackie Chan movie, but like he has no control over what the things that he would later have control over.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's not the like the real. He's not the auteur of it.
Yeah, and I mean that in a good way because like you never like this is like a one and done. Like you never get this kind of Jackie Chan movie again.
Right. They say that his unhappiness with this also led to him creating the Police Story movies,
Yes.
which are very famous series by him. Although the term super cop comes up in this movie, which then I think one of the Police Story movies is one of the sequels is called
It's
Super
called
Cop.
Super Cop.
This movie is grimy. This movie, if it had a smell, it would smell like a men's locker room.
But like there's a lot of charm to it. Like it's all like
Sure,
authentic
there are
grime.
things about it that absolutely work. Although I think if it had a little bit more of a couple different elements, I think it would be a total like dad classic. You know what I mean? Like the way Commandos is like a dad classic, like a TBS afternoon classic. There's just a few things that I think it needed turned up a little bit. But it's a good movie. Oh, by the way, so this is the movie's also got all right. So, all right, the first shot, literally, I knew very little about it. You told me the title of it. You said Danny Aiello and Jackie Chan. I said, where do I sign? The first shot, I literally thought, oh, this is like a dystopian sci-fi movie. The first shot is New York City. It's like a decimated, there's smoke in the background, a
It's the
decimated city.
classic, like, oh, it's the 80s and we're in the South Bronx.
There are marauders that look straight out of Mad Max, trying to like pull down a no, they're trying, they're rewiring a stop sign, no, sorry, a stoplight, traffic light. And I'm like, oh, this is like a dystopian future. That's cool. I really thought that was going to be that. And then it cuts to the first scene with Jackie Chan and his partner, the one he has in the beginning, and it's like contemporary to the 80s. And I was like, holy shit. Because like these so-called gang members are like have mohawks and fucking like they
Yeah,
look
you're
like
thinking
Mad
like, oh,
Max
these are,
villains.
yeah, you're thinking like these are, oh, these are the bad guys. And like they are bad guys, but they're not the bad guys.
No, right. And then there's a group of little people that are dressed like I don't know what, all sorts of different characters.
Basically the whole first like 15 minutes is to set up like basically like Jackie Chan and he's got his partner, and then spoiler alert, his partner gets killed. We'll get back to that in a second. And then, you know, because now his partner's dead, he has to team up with Danny Aiello to figure out what's going on in the bigger picture. Now, at the beginning of the movie, like I said, there's these marauders, and the gist of it is like you get a little taste of him and his partner, Big John
Well, you
Stewart.
know his partner's gonna die. Because when we meet his partner, he's playing with a stuffed animal, and Jackie Chan's like, "Aren't you a little too old for toys?" And he's like, "Oh, this is for my son. I'm gonna bring it home to my son,"
Like,
which
wait a
is
minute.
like in action movies, it's like, "Oh, well, you're dead. You're
And then
dead
the
now."
other tell is when they go into the bar, Jackie Chan's the one that's like, I gotta go use the restroom. So he's out of the picture when the bad
Right.
guys show up. Then
These
Big John Studd shows up.
who's he's credited on the. What do you call it? On the subtitles, he's credited as just Big Man. He's this. Well, you first you see these guys, you see this gang, and they're blowing coke in. Again, it's a grimy movie. They're doing cocaine in a van, and then they get out their machine guns. There's a lot of machine guns in this movie, and they're like, "Let's go into this bar," and then they run into the bar to go and fucking rob it. The big guy immediately starts like playing with the toy monkey, and he's like, "I like it, I like it." Jackie Chan's like taking a pee, like listening to what's going on. you say you know the who's the big coked up dude?
He's the wrestler Big John Studd.
Big John Studd. Okay. Well, someone else in the gang is the Mike Starr, the character actor, who I was just mentioning recently because the episode a couple weeks ago about Uncle Buck, Mike Starr plays the clown.
Oh, okay.
He's also in Dumb and Dumber. They give him the hot
Yes.
pepper and he dies. This movie's very bloody, by the way. Like, there's a lot of, like, when people get shot, there's, like, real arterial spray everywhere.
Yeah, and then like so basically these guys come in, they murder Jackie Chan's partner. Jackie Chan's in the bathroom. They set the tone right away. Like there's a really cool fight scene where Jackie Chan's like escaping the bathroom and the bar and like
Yeah. The big man breaks through the door while Jackie Chan's peeing. And then Jackie Chan shoots him, and it's pretty bloody. And then the guy's down, and then he just gets back up, and he's like, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that." And then Jackie Chan shoots him a bunch more times. There's more fighting. At one point, Jackie Chan, I think, kicks Mike Starr into a pinball machine, which somehow electrocutes him. I guess this pinball machine was hooked up to some live wire, and he does the jumping slow-mo shooting out the door of the bathroom. And then this chase goes on so long, it's ridiculous. Well, first he goes to his partner who's dying, and his dying partner's like, "Go get those motherfuckers, Billy." We should. Jackie Chan is Billy. He's been in America. He's been in New York for 10 years working for the police department. He's celebrating his 10-year anniversary. He's also a bit of a ladies' man. We hear him talk about his various dates and conquests. Even he's not like the most, he's not like the charming Jackie Chan
No.
you see often later. Yeah, he, the gang member in the bar, the last living gang member that he doesn't murder, like runs out and he's like running. He runs like to a pier. He like jumps over barbed wire. He's like climbing over barbed wire, like brutalizing his hands. He gets it. He steals a fucking boat. Then Jackie Chan like commandeers a boat. And the guy at the dock's like, "Who are you?" He's like, "I'm a cop." And he's like, "Get the fuck out of here." Everyone in this movie is a piece of shit. So Jackie Chan puts his gun in this civilian's face and is like, "Give me the keys to the fucking boat." So then it's a boat chase. Oh no, so there's a captain in this who's like,
You're a loose wire. Like, what are you doing? Like,
exactly.
stand
He's your
down. Like,
stereotypical captain. I wrote down some of his lines. He says things like, "They want your shield." He sees Jackie Chan about to go off on the boat, and he's like, "Let the harbor police do it." And he's like, "But they killed Michael, Captain." So he chases him down. They're shooting at each other. The villain's got a fucking machine gun. The gang. There's a lot of people who use some very casual racism towards Jackie Chan's character. So he does some of that here,
There's a
and
guy
then
in a
but.
helicopter shows up
Oh
and
my
like
God. So there's a whole helicopter above, and Jackie Chan calls it on the radio of the boat. How he knows the frequency, I don't know. And he's like, "Hey, fucking come down, throw a fucking rope down. I'll get on it. I'll turn the boat I'm in that I've stolen into a fucking projectile, and I'll
it
have
would
it, I'll make it
crash
so
into the bad guy's boat.
and explode. Like Aqua Teen Hunger Force, huge explosion, and then he's dead." The cliches of this movie are great. All right, so the one thing I want to say about this guy, this director, who I don't think I've seen any of his other movies, Glickenhaus, he knows how to put value on the screen. Like, this movie was made for a fairly kind of lower budget for the year that this was made. This movie was made for like around between 5 and 7 million. It's low for what they're trying to do, but he uses just like good cinematography. He uses real world locations like New York and Hong Kong, and gets production value out of everything. Even like at the end, the villain's lair is like just these shipping containers stacked up. It looks really good. Like, this guy knows how to get production value on the screen with very little. So okay, so from after the he kills the gang member where we
Then he gets a dressing down from his captain.
right.
But like all the dressing down, I feel like I'm not even gonna say this is a weak point in the movie because I did find it all funny. But like all the dressing downs in this movie are like so toothless. It's like, God, we're gonna take your badge away, Billy. What are you doing? I think I'll do better next time, off, Sarge. And they're like, get out of my office. And like nothing ever comes of it.
Yeah, he's just mad all the time. Wait, he says, I have a quote from him. The mayor's been up the commissioner's ass over this one, Wong. He wants your fucking shield, and if he can't get it, he'll take mine. Or, and then another one. Maybe next time you'll think twice before pulling one of your hot dog stunts.
Yeah, that's your hot dogs.
I mean, it's like, it. This is like right out of the book. It's so cliche, fucking, the mayor's gonna have your ass for this one.
So basically, they
And he
figure
called,
out
that's
that
what he
they're
calls him, Super Cop. He sarcastically goes, listen, Super
this is a
Cop.
super cop. When he leaves Sarge's office, it's sort of like, yeah, the Sarge has to dress him down, but all the guys on the force know that like he did
Yeah.
this.
But
He
what's really
got.
funny is, slow clap is supposed to start like and then turn into applause, but this never kind of gets there.
No,
It
it's
kind of
just a
stays
constant
like a
slow clap.
rhythmic beat. It's very weird.
Yeah, it just starts and then it just you think like a Fela Kuti song is gonna break out or something. Like it never gets into a second gear. But that's when we get into the thrust of the movie, is
Yeah.
because that sets up like they discover like, oh, this like the whole first 15 minutes of this movie is like them discovering that there is a guy in Hong Kong doing bad stuff, something guns, something with drugs or whatever, like whatever. It's like it's a MacGuffin. But that's where it's like, we're gonna give you Danny Aiello and he's gonna help you out.
As his punishment, he has to do a security job. So we see like a swanky party, and we meet Danny Aiello, who plays Danny Garrone, who I'm obsessed with his character.
He has such charisma, and him and Jackie Chan have like such immediate chemistry. Like it's actually really good.
Yeah, it's a good part of the movie. And I should say, at this point, Jackie Chan's English is really bad, and so his performance feels very stiff.
Danny Aiello makes it work because he doesn't talk down to him.
No,
I
yeah.
think that's a very good key to it. Like he's not like, ah, come on. He's not like the guys who are legitimately making fun of him, the bad guys.
Yeah. No, they seem to they have a good relationship, and I think performance-wise, Danny Aiello's really putting a lot of sauce on it, which I
Yeah.
think kind of makes up for Chan not bringing a toll like a huge amount. I mean, obviously Jackie Chan's extremely talented and he does stunts and he does everything.
But it's like if we're not going to meet on the same level, we're just going to go like opposites attract. And like, I'm going to play it really big.
Well, you know what it is? It's like sometimes you have a situation where like somebody's underacting, so you overact. My favorite example of this would be in the movie Caddyshack, Ted Knight and Rodney Dangerfield. Like Rodney Dangerfield's a shitty actor and he's doing a horrible job. So in those scenes with Ted Knight's really fucking like playing to the rafters. That's
Yeah.
kind of what you get a little bit here. Oh my God. All right, so we should say, I was talking before about it being grimy. This movie is very
If you
it's
want to see grimy 80s Hong Kong in all its glory,
but
go
it
see this movie.
yes. This movie is very deeply in the ideology of like things like Dirty Harry, like the idea that it begins in New York and then it goes to Hong Kong, but it's the idea of like to do your job properly as a cop, you have to abuse people. You can't follow the law to be someone who enforces the law. You have to break the law to enforce the law, which is something some people still believe. It's very much an idea of like, I mean, even like that opening shot with the Marauders that look like a fucking Mad Max movie. It's this idea that was very prevalent in the 70s and 80s in movies where it's like, no, cities are cesspools filled with crime. You will get murdered and killed and raped the second you step foot into a city. Cities are bad places. And this movie's totally with that. Like when we first meet Daniela's character, he's also working security at this party. And he's like, Jackie Chan's like, why are you here? And he goes, some punk pulled a knife on me, so I kicked his fucking teeth in. And then Jackie Chan goes, and then he screamed police brutality. So like it's kind of like Danny Aiello's like, yeah, I did what I had to do. He pulled a knife on me, and then I got in trouble for kicking his fucking teeth in, so now I'm here. We meet the MacGuffin, who's actually a woman. Her name's Laura Shapiro. This woman's very 80s hot. She has big, like, frizzy hair and, like, you know, like, kind of a tracksuit kind of thing and big, chunky jewelry. And she, we find out that, well, Danny Aiello does a lot of exposition in this movie. So Danny Aiello tells us that, like, her father's this gangster who's, like, into every horrible thing and he's got everybody in his pocket. But this woman, Laura Shapiro, he's, like, flirting with her. And then she comes over and flirts with Jackie Chan. And she's like, I could tell you guys are cops, but, you know, why don't you, I don't know if you're allowed, but, you know, why don't you have a drink, have a good time? And then Jackie Chan's like, I can't drink now, but if you want to meet me after I'm off duty, I'll have a drink with you. And then we meet Benny Garucci, who's the sort of muscle of the bad guy. He's described to us as an ex-karate champ. And he threatens Billy immediately and calls him the C-word for Chinese people. He's like, hey, C-word, you better stay away from, you better stop bothering Mr. Shapiro's daughter, even though she was just flirting with him. Danny Aiello must say the word fuck 9 million times in this movie. There's a part where there's like these like dancers at the party. Like they're like, it's like a fashion show, whatever the fuck. And Jackie Chan goes, nice dress. And Danny Aiello goes, nice tits.
Yeah, he's great.
Sure, you're on the clock. Of course, at this party, a door explodes in and guys in fucking masks come in with machine guns and start fucking, they basically kidnap this woman, Laura Shapiro. So she's the fucking MacGuffin. She's the Death Star plans.
Yeah.
Now we're in the commissioner's office. We have the captain with him, the one who was yelling at Jackie Chan. The captain is like, he's yelling at them. And then Danielle was like, well, we had our guns out. And then the captain goes, you could have had your dicks out for all the good it did you. And then Daniello says to his boss, I'll take my dick out when I'm going to use it, captain. But even though the captain's pissed off with their hijinks, the commissioner loves it. He loves what he's seeing. So the commissioner's like, I'm going to send you two to fucking Hong Kong. Is the New York police allowed to do such a thing? I don't think so. But he's like, you guys are going to go to Hong Kong to investigate this. Oh, because like a federal agent comes in and he's like, we found out that Shapiro is importing all sorts of drugs and shit from the main big bad in Hong Kong.
So now it's everyone's problem. So we gotta get involved.
Harold Koh is the big bad guy.
Yeah.
Who we don't see for a while, actually.
Yeah, we don't really see him until like basically the end of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So they go to Hong Kong. And again, like it's beautiful. Like they really get a lot of production value out of just, you know, the beautiful neon lights and shit in Hong Kong. It's very cool.
Oh, yeah. And the first set, like, there's a scene where they, like, talk a little bit in their, like, shitty hotel room or whatever. But the real first set piece is fucking fantastic. They're going through this, like, strip mall kind of thing. Like, this, like, indoor Hong. It's hard to explain. Like, you would have to know Hong Kong to know what I'm talking about. But, like, they have a lot of these, like, indoor sort of mall areas.
Yeah.
And inside, they go to... They basically go to a rub and tug place.
Yeah, they go to...
They go to a massage parlor.
But it's very clearly like sex workers.
Yeah.
And Daniello seems to know this place.
Yeah, he's like, you're going to love this place.
Yeah, so they're like...
They're in a sauna. They're like whipping each other with towels. They're like,
yeah, oh yeah. All sorts of weird shit's going on. I mean, this movie has milking tables. And I never thought I'd see a milking table outside of like Pornhub. I certainly didn't think I'd see it in a Jackie Chan Danny Aiello.
Not only do you see it, it's there. It's like
it's the part main, of it. Yeah,
it's almost like the main catalyst for the action scene that follows. And you see like full frontal.
Yeah. So they go in. So first they're getting massages. They're getting their nails done. Danny Aiello's hitting on every lady. Two women come in and they're like, "Come with us." And Danny Aiello's like, "Ah, pick whichever one you want, Billy." And then Billy picks a girl, and he's like, "Nah, nah, Billy, that's." You know, no, that's my girl, Billy. So it's like, then why the fuck? So anyway, they go into this this room that's basically got two massage tables on it.
It's separated by a beaded wall, like a beaded curtain.
And it's got the hole in the where you put your face if you've ever had a massage, but then it has a hole near the crotch. These are milking tables for getting jerked off while you're laying down on your stomach. So yeah, this girl comes in, full frontal nudity. Danielle's like talking creepy to her. Jackie Chan's getting massaged. I wonder if he was protecting himself a little. I wonder if he's protecting his image a little bit, Because he's getting massage, but he's not late. Like Daniello's like getting like tongued off. There's a real creepy bit where some other girl like pulls the tape. There's like a bench underneath it for the girl to go, like kind of 69 position. She like lays down, and then Daniello puts his head through the hole and he goes, "Hey, when did you grow a beard?" Hilarity. So Daniello's getting jerked off and. Welcome to PCMC, everybody. Danny Aiello is getting jerked off like you do, and Jackie Chan is he's getting massaged, but like the woman is like standing on top of him, which is like a thing that you see.
Yeah.
But then he's looking down, and there's like a reflective surface, and he sees the two masseuses like nod at each other, and then one of them takes a knife out, and this is a really good. I think all of this action is good. Jackie Chan. Like rolls off the bed. She comes down, plants the knife in the bed. Dan Aiello gets up, like, "Oh, what's going on? I was just getting stroked off over here." Fucking Jackie Chan takes a lamp and like hits the one that working Dan Aiello hits her. Some fucking dude runs in, like jumps in the room.
Yeah, now they're, it's just anarchy. Fighting. Now like it's on, and like these guys start running out of nowhere.
And Jackie Chan is doing martial arts, but fucking Danny Aiello with his fucking old man body, all he has is gunplay. So he, in his boxers, runs to a fucking locker, opens the locker, and takes out his gun and starts shooting at people. It's beautiful. They go through every room. They're fighting. I think this might be the best fight sequence.
Yeah, because you get a lot of like that classic Jackie Chan, like, using pieces of the environment. Like there's a part in there where he like sets up a glass table that he puts a guy through. Like,
yeah. I actually found the big fight at the end between him and Garrucci, like that, I was a little underwhelmed by that. I felt like that could have been better. Yeah. And then weirdly, like right after it, there's another big bad. Like, it's like when you play a game and you think you've hit the boss and then there's another boss and you're like, "Oh, this game's not over." So Billy is like up against the wall. Daniello comes in with his gun and he's like, "Freeze, motherfucker." And then a guy in a suit comes behind Daniello, puts a gun to his head. He goes, "No, you freeze, motherfucker." And he's like, "All right, get these guys in their clothes and bring them to my office." So then this is very like, this is very fun. This is like very, like I said, it's like very like Lethal Weapon or something. Like, they're like, "Oh, we're just tourists." And he's like, "Really? You're not cops?" He's like, "I'm a cop." You cop, Billy? Are you a cop? He don't look like a cop. I'm not a cop. And then he's like, "What do you want? What do you, what does he say?" He says something like, "Why are you investigating Mr. Ko?" or whatever. And first, Danielle was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." But then Jackie Chan's like, "We know what he did." So then Danielle was like, "Oh, yeah, him. Oh, that one. Yeah. Oh, he's very unhappy with you people." So then Jackie Chan fucking does a thing where he kicks himself back and hits the guy behind him. Daniel's, when he does fight fisticuffs, he's like a slugger. He's punching you in the fucking stomach. He's getting, he's not doing any of these fancy special things Jackie Chan's doing. He's fucking punching you in the stomach and that's it. And then he's holding a gun to your face. But they get out of there. They run away. Beautiful shots of Hong Kong streets. I forgot to say, they meet at some point. They meet like the chief of police there, and it's this British guy named Whitehead.
Yeah,
and this guy's very like, this guy's so obviously in on it from the get go because he's like
that's all he's there to do. Because on its surface, that stuff goes nowhere because that's where it gets to like, "Oh, I send you back to the U.S." Now it's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, he's there to be.
Movie to continue.
He's there to be yet another authority figure to be like, "We're sick of your fucking hot dogging and showboating."
Yeah.
Except this guy's British in Hong Kong, and I don't know. From the get go, you're like, this guy's got to be in the pocket of the villain because he's kind of like, you know, Harold Coe is a very important member of this community.
Yeah, he's capping big for Harold Coe.
Yeah. But we meet this other inspector who is an Asian man, and he's kind of like helping our boys out, and he kind of becomes like a friend to the group. It's like Wizard of Oz. We meet little friends along the way here that come with us. This guy ends up being like a good guy. Yeah.
Like, speaking of that, so like the next part of the movie is when they're on the water.
Oh, God. Yeah. This, again, beautiful. It's just getting
beautiful.
getting good production value out of just filming this shit. Half of these people did not sign consents. They were just fucking on the dock and they're just filming them. I'm
Yeah,
sure
and
of it.
it's basically it's one of these things where like in Hong Kong, like you could set up shop on a boat, like on the
Yeah.
river, and they
It's
go to
very
this
cool.
guy. It's like one of these scenes where it's like they want to progress the plot, so like we gotta go see a guy on a boat about Harold Ko.
Yeah,
So they
this
go
guy is
to
a
the guy
he's
on the
an old
boat.
inf he used to be a gangster, but now he's living a clean life. He's an informant.
His daughter's there,
His
like.
daughter's there. She's gonna join our ragtag group. Yeah, this guy's name is the character's name is Lee Hing, and
And
he's
he's the
got
stereotypical like,
yeah.
hey, we need some information. Li Heng is like, oh, I don't do that anymore, and I can't get involved in this.
Yeah.
And then he's right, he shouldn't have gotten involved
Because immediately he's
because
proved right. Yeah.
yeah, like Harold Ko's guys show up on the again, great scene. Like they show up on the
Yes.
water in their own boat and fucking like they get into a big action scene where like everyone just sort of spreads out on the water, like
Yeah.
they're jumping in his boat, he's jumping in his boat to
Oh,
chase him.
this chase is incredible. First of all, Danny Aiello does very little. Danny Aiello takes out a gun. He's menacing one guy with a gun, and as he's walking up to that guy, he hits another guy into the water. Jackie Chan,
He's running like a
he's
mile and
one
a
like yeah.
half
The
through.
bad guys are fleeing. It's the guys who were just intimidating them. The gangster that they were just in his office the night before. The one I guess he owns the fucking massage parlor. They're going, so Jackie Chan is like jumping from boat to boat, and then he'll go on the fucking dock, and then he'll run, and then he'll steal a motorcycle and then ride it a little bit. Thankfully, for some reason, they built the dock like a fucking like for a stunt with a motorcycle, because he rides up that and lands in another boat, and it's like a video game. He's just the physicality of Jackie Chan is so incredible. Like he's climbing things and doing all this shit. And Danielle's like, "What the fuck you doing, Billy?" And it's just great production. Eventually he gets to the villain's boat and then they're fighting, but then that guy jumps on another boat that's being pulled by
And
and he
he gets
waves
away.
by like, "Ah, you lost me." They go back, and despite everything that just happened and him being completely right, he's like, "You know what? I think I will help you because
Oh, that's right.
I
He
made
does
a
that first.
right because somebody that they don't really show this character, but some informant from New York, like he wasn't his honorable friend, and he was like, he
Yeah, it
told
was like
Jackie
some
Chan, I'll do a favor for him.
MacGuffin
Something,
thing, like.
something, I gotta do you a favor. So he tells him, I'll get you information, come back tomorrow.
Come back tomorrow, and then they see the thing has been
Yeah.
firebombed. He's dead. The daughter is alive, but she's
It's
very
pretty brutal the
angry.
way he's dead. I mean, the whole thing's
Yeah.
burnt up. He's like strung up with like something stabbed in his eye. It's pretty fucked up. Oh, there's a point where they go into their hotel. They're staying in this shitty hotel room. And there's a point where they go in and there's like a briefcase full of money. And then the phone rings and it's like, hi. And it's the villain. And he's like, who is this? And the villain's like, well, hopefully I'm your friend. You know, I've left you a briefcase there. You know, you should just take it and go back home. And then Jackie Chan goes, it's not your money we want, it's your ass. So then Danny Aiello rages out of the bathroom with a fucking Uzi, shoots this assassin who's like on their windowsill or like on their fire escape. And this is an incredible stunt. This assassin, after he gets shot, he like falls through neon signs. You know, like a neon sign that's like on the side of a building and it'll say like hotel and then have like an arrow. Like,
Yeah,
you
he
know, so
falls
it's
through
like
that.
long ways. He falls like through that, hitting each thing on the way down and then lands in a car. Jackie Chan fucking just jumps on, like he climbs and jumps down a fire escape to chase them. There's a lot. This movie's basically just set pieces. One set piece after another after another,
Oh, yeah.
just strung together. The villain gets in a car. Jackie Chan shoots at the wheels. It fucking tumbles over. Everything's fucked up. The guy's like halfway out the car. He's half dead. Jackie Chan's like, tell me where they're holding the girl. The fucking bad guy in the car just pulls out a cigarette lighter and lights it to blow himself up, basically. And then the car explodes. It's fucking the whole sequence is just incredible action, incredible stunts in this movie, incredible pyrotechnics in this movie.
If
They
you're a
had a
fan of
lot
Jackie
going
Chan
for it.
movies and you've never seen this because it just wasn't on like the Jackie Chan plate of Jackie Chan movies that were done by Jackie Chan, you really need to seek this out. And it's on like I watched it on Pluto. Like It's for free out there right
Did you
now.
just watch it for the first time recently?
No, I watched it like 10 years ago for the first time. And I was familiar with Jackie Chan movies, but like that one I was not. And I was like, oh, it was. It's like some early Chan movie. It's like not quite fully baked yet. And I'm like, no, this is like a diamond in the rough. This is a genuine
It
Jackie Chan.
is. It is. Well, let me ask you, I've only seen like a handful of Jackie Chan movies. Would you could like, are you a Jackie Chan fan?
I am. I wouldn't say I've seen like a ton of Jackie Chan movies. I've seen the first couple Police Stories. I've seen Rumble
You and
Number
I
9.
saw Police Story. I mean, you had seen it, but I saw Police Story
They saw it
with
for the
you
first time
for
at
the first
the
time at an
Alamo.
Alamo. Yeah, that movie's got that. That's a great movie.
That's like the quint. Like if you
Yes, it
had
is.
to
Yeah.
only watch one Jackie Chan movie, Police Story is that movie.
Yeah, Police Story is incredible.
And I would even say the scene you were just talking about, the neon lights,
Yeah.
sort of hints at the stunt he does at the end of Police Story, where he's in the
Yes.
mall.
Oh, that whole end of Police. Actually, my favorite part of Police Story is this weird like comedy scene where they're like, "Hey, we're all
The
going out or
phones?
whatever. Can you man the phones?"
Yes.
And he's like, it's like
He's
six
working
desks.
like eight different phones. He's like, oh, I'll be with you in a moment. And then he's like kicking phones around with his
Right, and it's
feet and
all
like
and for you young people, like these phones have wires. They're wired. So like he's like connected to six phones. He's holding one. He's spinning around. He's in a spinning chair. He's like talking to this one. He says the wrong thing to this one. No, I'll be right there. Blah blah. It's really a dance. It's clearly very choreographed, but it's not a fight scene. It's a dance. It's incredible, incredible piece of physical like comedy. No, it's really good. It's really good. So, like, what do you think is of what you've seen? Is Police Story the best Jackie Chan movie? What's the best Jackie Chan
I
movie?
would say I think Police Story is the best,
Okay,
personally. I think
okay.
it's quintessential. It's like his magnum opus. Like this is everything he wanted to do in a movie, and he got to do it.
Yeah. Oh, so after they kill that assassin, they're back in the British guy's office, and he's yelling at them, and he goes, "And what were you doing with a machine gun?" And Daniello says the line of the movie, "I never go anywhere in Southeast Asia without an Uzi."
Don't we all?
How did you brought it on the
How'd you
plane?
bring it? Yeah.
How'd you get it here? And just the idea that this has come up so many times. I never go anywhere in Southeast Asia without an Uzi. Because if you go in, because you will be, someone will try to assassinate you in Southeast Asia. It's
Yeah,
just gonna
you
happen.
gotta have your Uzi.
Oh, I haven't talked yet about his outfits. So my
His
favorite
outfits are
outfit,
great. The red jacket.
the red jacket, because it's a jacket, but he wears it like a shirt.
Yes. It's like a bright red, like a windbreaker, like an 80s, like one of those like shiny red like
Yeah.
windbreakers. But like you said, he's got it
Almost like
like
a
pulled
members
up.
only kind of jacket,
Yeah.
but he's
Like a
got it
school.
halfway down to his like navel open. So you got the hairy chest and the fucking Italian chain, whatever. And
But
he's working as a cop.
he's working it like he's got his hands in his pockets
Yeah.
like all the time. He's like so relaxed.
Oh yeah, he's fu again. All the best stuff in this movie is just him and Jackie Chan talking. When he's
Yeah.
like, "Hey Billy boy, you see this? Oh, what's with this guy? Oh, he's a real friendly Italian you got." At one point, after they've had their asses kicked for, in the massage parlor, the next day Jackie Chan's like, "Oh, what happened to your eye?" Because Daniel's eye's all black, and he's like, "Oh, I must have got bit by something." Jackie Chan's like, "Yeah, watch out for those Hong Kong flies. They wear high heels." And then they're like giggling. There's a lot of just chummy giggling. Look, are we almost being assassinated? Yeah, but we're having the time of our lives, right? Come on, we're getting a little rub and tug. We're going to a nice restaurant.
But then here's an interesting part about that. So far it's just been the two of them.
Yeah.
If there's any thread where it's like, and ultimately I don't really care because this movie's just so much fun and like
Yeah.
knows exactly what it
No,
wants to
the
be.
plot is so. It's very like there's no like a good mystery plot should have twists and turns. This plot is a one-way street and then back down the one-way street. Like
Yeah.
at some point they have the girl who was the MacGuffin, and they're like the movie just keeps going. It's like what? I should say at now at this point the dude who dies, the uncle, his niece, oh no, his daughter. Oh, what's the name of the daughter? Oh, Hing is his name. Is it Sue? Su Hing?
I
No,
think it's
Su Ling. Su
Su
Ling is her
Ling.
name. She's kind of a love interest for Chan, but not that developed. But they kind of are from that point on.
Yeah, and then but then like so that scene happens where where the ship blows up, and then Su Ling, she doesn't want to, she's like very resentful for a few minutes
Yeah.
about like you got him killed, this was your fault. And Jackie Chan is trying to be like, no, like you got to help us, like this was
Yeah.
not because of us, like he would have come for your father anyway, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But like you could have blinked at that point, and then you open your eyes, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, they have like a little team going, like with
Yeah.
her and then the.
The nephew. Yeah, and he's interesting too because he also is like wearing army fatigues. And like he goes to take some stuff from the uncle's boat and he's like, I guess it's on he's like, I need to pick up some stuff, uncle. And he's like, yeah, but are you gonna pay for it? Or is it on the arm? And he's like, ah, you know me. And then he has a Walkman that he gives to a little kid. He's like, yeah, I just got this. You can have it. Like, what is your deal, dude? But yeah, he's in on. He's in the team now. He's on the
Yeah.
team now. We finally meet the villain of the piece, Harold Ko, who's played by Roy Chow, who you might know from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. He's the one who poisons Indiana Jones in the beginning.
Yeah.
The one who's like, the antidote for the poison you just drank, Dr. Jones. He's the villain, Harold Ko. Danny Aiello and Billy go to like this, like, he's having this, like, I don't even get what it is. He bought a horse that's a racehorse. So he bought it with money, but then he's gonna run the horse. He's gonna race the horse, but all the money that he wins from the race, he's gonna give to a children's hospital. So this is like a press event for that, I guess.
And they're trying to like catch him in a lie by going there with
Oh,
the
yeah.
briefcase of money. And it's
Yeah.
actually a really fun scene
Yeah.
where he's like, "Oh, is this this your money?" And he's like, "Oh, of course not. That's not my money." He's like, "Oh, well, you won't mind if we just give it to everyone, huh?" And
Yeah.
just like
And everyone goes
throw
crazy
it up in the
chasing
air.
after it.
And then basically that sets up. That's a fun little scene. And then after that, if there's one complaint about the movie, is
Yes.
that the last. I would say like 25 minutes drags a little bit
Yeah.
because then we get to like the again, great use of economy, like the shipping container warehouse layer,
Yes.
where
I like that stuff a lot, but that felt the thing is that feels like this is the end and then there's more.
yes,
Because like I
exactly.
said, that's where they're holding Laura Shapiro
Which this
and
is like the most 80s bad guy lair ever.
oh my
Like
God.
they ship in these women to do like science experiments on drugs,
They're completely
but when they
naked.
show up, they're completely naked in lab coats,
Which I think
and
is a real thing, like, because you're afraid people are going to steal the drugs. But I mean, I feel like I've seen that in other movies or heard about that. But I always just imagine like everyone just naked. This is just hot women naked, like, but then no one else is. Like the security guys are wearing clothes. The scientists
Exactly.
who are making the drugs.
The woman is just like in a cage in the corner. Like,
I know. Yeah. And it's very, like, again, the plot's very simplistic. Like, we find out that these two guys were in business, you know, one, Harold Ko in Hong Kong and whatever, Mr. Shapiro in New York. And he just stiffed him, like, Shapiro stiffed him on something, and that's why he kidnapped his daughter. But then they're making it up. Like, you see that guy, Garucci, the one who called, the guy who's the ex-karate guy, like the muscle for Shapiro, we see him with Harold Ko, and he's like, "I'm so sorry about this misunderstanding. Here's the money. We were always gonna give you the money. It was a misunderstanding." And he's like, "Okay, I'll give you the girl back." And it's like, that's it. That means this is very like Indiana Jones. That means had Danny Aiello and Jackie Chan not gone to Hong Kong, it would have resolved itself.
the girl would have just been shipped back to America.
Yeah, it would have resolved itself. Yeah, so but again, it's okay. The shipping container stuff, so imagine like shipping containers, like you've seen them on like barges and stuff, but like there's a bunch stacked up, but really inside it's hollowed out and it's a fucking like drug factory. And
It's like a level in GoldenEye, like
yeah,
it's.
and they're also growing cantaloupes because
They're going to hide the drugs in the cantaloupe.
okay, for the kids that listen to PCMC, and I know kids love to listen. In the 80s, we were obsessed with the idea of hiding drugs and things. It's a big plot of a lot of movies. In Beverly Hills Cop, it's they hide drugs in coffee grinds. There's some other movie where it's in like toys, right? Like
Yeah.
this was a big thing we were very interested in the 80s, hiding drugs in things and shipping them that way. So anyway, it's oh wait, before they go, sorry, I'm all over the place. Before they go, this is when the nephew is, what's his name, by the way? What the fuck? Oh, Stan. Stan is like, oh yeah, I used to be a Navy SEAL. Hey, I brought something for you. And he take this thing is amazing, right? It's like a cannon. It's a Power Rangers weapon.
It's
It's
the
insane.
BFG from Dune.
Yeah, it's the BFG from Dune. It's ridiculous. And then, but in perfect like voice of the audience, when it comes out, Danny Aiello goes, oh, what the fuck is that? If you ever want to see an action movie that's Jackie Chan and your uncle, The Protector is the movie for you.
Oh, Billy, I made some broccoli rabe.
Nice tits on this one. Sir, you're on the clock. There's a really pointless scene. There's a scene where the daughter brings Jackie Chan to a fortune teller, but then the fortune
Yeah.
teller just gives him information, and it's like, I don't know if I'm reading it wrong. Is he really a fortune teller, or is he just another informant? Like the scene plays out like he's an informant, but also it feels very like they're trying to be mystical for a second. You know, there's some orientalism in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like this,
oh, definitely.
you know what I mean? Like somehow there's we're tapped into something magical. So
Then they
they
infiltrate.
break
Yeah,
into
they
the
break
drug
in.
factory. Yeah.
And then like the, there's a scene, there's scenes where they're climbing out over the, they're climbing up the crates and everything, and
Ventilation
they're getting
shafts and
in the
shit.
ventilation shafts. But then that all leads to what you think is the final scene, or
Right.
like the big fight, where Danny Aiello is there, and now it's like, oh man, Danny Aiello's got to fight. No, he gets injured.
Yeah, he gets shot. I thought he was dead. When they're on their way out, he gets shot in the shoulder and they have to peace out.
But they don't
Stan,
even, I don't recall,
they
like
leave him behind.
they
But
just
then
leave
the
him behind.
rest of
They
the movie's
don't,
about getting him.
yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah,
But
they
they
leave
make
him
no
behind.
effort in, but they make no effort in the moment to
No.
be like, come on, let's go. It wasn't like they were like, oh, come on, let's go. And Daniel was like, no, leave me. You got a job to do. Like, no, they just leave him.
No, it all
Like,
happens pretty fast. And also, we should say there's a fake out earlier on where Jackie Chan is shot, and they do the old, oh,
oh,
I'm
he had like
wearing
the
a
coin
fucking.
or like.
No, he's wearing, what do you call it? A bulletproof vest, which is like,
Oh, that's
why
right.
wouldn't you wear that? You're a
Yeah.
cop. Like, there's a funny line from Danny Aiello, though. The cage that Laura Shapiro is in, and when I say a cage, imagine the cage that like Richard Dreyfuss goes in Jaws. It's like a tiny little cage in the corner of a room with like a lady in it. They go to break her out, but that's the room where all the naked women are like doing whatever with the coke.
Oh,
So
when they
Danny,
bust into this fucking room.
oh, it's great. They're running. At one point, like Stan and Jackie Chan like aren't moving, and Danny Aiello goes, what, you've never seen four naked ladies before? Let's fucking move
You
it.
know what? I think we've talked about this before, where a scene has gone completely haywire when you see a person running on fire. This may be the exception to that. Like, this was like the equivalent of that without the fire.
Right. And also, I should say, Jackie Chan is like doing that thing where they're like,
Women with
that Star Wars
candles.
thing where we're planting bombs. Like he's touching underneath tables. It's like, oh, we planting bombs because he's gonna blow this whole fucking thing sky high. Because that's the thing. We've got the girl now, which by the way, the girl was on her way home to her dad. By the
Yeah.
way, like it's not like she was gonna be killed. The deal was made. She was going home to their dad. And also, like, why? They never do anything in this movie to, like, we meet the girl once and she's charming. Laura, I mean. But they never do anything to, like, endear you to her. Like, you wouldn't, like, there's nothing to make you feel like she's not also part of this crime family. Like, it's not like she's an
Yeah.
innocent victim. But they're like, no, we gotta get the girl before the handoff. Like, why? They're just gonna bring her home.
Yeah.
But then it's also like, no, I'm here in Hong Kong. I'm gonna bring down this whole fucking crime syndicate.
And they do. They leave Danny Aiello behind. They
Yeah.
kind of regroup a little bit, and then they meet Harold Ko and his people like at their warehouse
Right.
place on the
Right.
dock.
It's a they Harold Coe's like, come and meet us at a set piece later on.
Yeah, so they do that,
Yeah, they
and
go
then
back to where
that's
they were.
where,
Yeah.
but then that's where you think. So this is what I was thinking of before, where it's like,
Yeah.
this is, oh, you're like, oh, this is the final like stand down,
Yeah.
and
No.
you've got to fight this guy, and you realize Dan Aiello
Carucci,
is still
but it's not good.
alive.
It's too slow. It's not good. Like, there's
It's a
one
little too
point.
slow. It does pick up when they finally pick up Chekhov's like fucking saw or whatever,
Oh
like.
yeah, he comes in with a saw. Well, also at one point there's two like potted plants, and Jackie Chan puts the pots on his fists, and
Yes.
then he starts punching them with the fucking pots.
At one point, it turns into Donkey Kong, like the original
It gets a
arcade
little
game.
ridiculous.
Like,
Well, it's just not. It's not paced well. First of all, Garucci's kicking his ass the whole way, and it's like you want Jackie Chan to do a little better. And I should say, it's also like the setup where Danny Aiello's like tied to a chair, and he's like, "You motherfucker!" they're like, they got a gun to his head. Oh, also, when they come, when Chan comes in, he's like, "You lost, Co. Laura Shapiro's safe now." And then you hear like a British voice go like, "Oh, she's very safe." And then it's the British fucking captain or whatever with her. And he's like, "Ah, I was a bad guy all along. Didn't you know?" So she's there. So again, they've accomplished nothing. She's right back in. They put her right in the arms of the villain because they're like, "We're gonna go to the big set piece. You go to the Hong Kong police and get yourself safe." There's so This is something that always gets to me in all action movies and stuff like this. And I don't know if it's something if you've ever thought this, but like you have like these action movies, right? Or you have like these movies where like these crime movies, and you see like this super evil guy, and he like betrays you or something, and then the good guy goes, "You son of a bitch!" Like, is that gonna hurt his feelings? Like, I always find it funny. Like, this guy's pure evil.
You
Like,
bastard. Like,
Leah,
yes, I
like, why do
am.
you like? First of all, are you shocked? Also, like, do you think
Like,
like words are gonna hurt him? It's just, I don't know. I always just find that funny in any
you
movie.
betrayed me. I loved you. It's like,
Yeah,
what do I
you
care?
son of a bitch. Yeah, but this movie's all about the fucking New York cops cursing.
It gets to the point, so they fight.
Yeah, they fight.
It picks up when they get this fucking like chainsaw fight going on.
Right. There's Chekhov's electrical box. Do not caution, do not touch. Yeah.
Then he beats the big bad guy, the goon, and you think like, okay, well,
Well,
this is it.
he tricks him into putting his chainsaw into the electric box. So he's electrocuted to death. So we're like, okay, this is good. We killed that guy. And then he goes up and he kicks everyone else's ass and he lets Danny Aiello go. And then Harold Coe's like, fuck. And he runs away. So you're like, okay, this is kind of over where the good guys kind of won. The good Hong Kong cop that we met, he is happy to arrest his boss. He's like, freeze right there. So he kind of pays off. But then there's so much more. There's a whole nother fight with this big dude in the white t-shirt.
Well, there's that, and where they're on the roof, and you think, okay, well, now that's it. And
Right.
then like Harold Coe escapes in a helicopter.
He escapes a helicopter, and
And
no, at one point Jackie Chan is fighting this guy who's like, I guess he's like a guard of Harold Coe, and they like. This is all a shipping yard, right? So they walk onto this like platform, and then the platform gets raised. So they're like up in the middle of the air fighting on this platform. Which is a cool, it's cool looking, but it's also like.
You can't really do a whole lot of fighting on
And
there.
also, I don't know this guy. Like, yes, this guy's very huge and intimidating, but like, we've never met this guy at any point before in this movie. And we're kind of like, all right, we could go home now. Like, I don't forget what happened. Oh, he knocks the guy off, so that guy falls to his death. There's a couple of really good fall gags. At one point, there's a sniper that's gonna shoot Jackie Chan, and Danielle's like, "Give me that fucking cannon," and he shoots the guy off of it.
Yeah,
That's a fun
so
fall.
we paid off the cannon,
Yeah, we
but
paid
now
that
it's like,
off.
oh, what are we gonna do with Harold Coe? And I believe it, I may be getting this wrong, but like Harold Coe is like about to snipe Danny Aiello and the girl, and or the the guy on the
Yeah, something like that.
platform.
Yeah.
So he's got his eye off Jackie Chan. Bad move for him because Jackie Chan like gets into one of those like machines that can pick up the crates and like move them
Yes.
around,
Yeah.
and the last scene of the movie before like the like the real final scene, like the coda of the movie, is he just drops his big fucking box on top of Helico's helicopter and just explodes.
Yes. It's a pretty good effect. And then like they really again they get their money out of it. There's a helicopter shot of like this like a long shot of this entire what it, I don't know what you would call this place. We're like the
Shipping
helicopter on fire.
yard, like.
Yeah, the helicopter on fire and everything. And then we're back in New York and we're at like some it's got a Star Wars ending. We're at some ceremony. The fucking captain is giving Danny Aiello and
Yeah,
Jackie Chan.
Michael's widowed kid is there, like.
Yeah. Oh, and Michael's widow is what's her name? She's the character actress who plays Ted Lasso's mother. She also played Lena Dunham's mother in Girls.
Oh.
I don't know if she even says a word in this movie, but she's the original. And they just walk off to the sunset, and there's like some sappy song, and that's the
That's the
Protector.
Protector.
Terrible title. Terrible title. The
Yeah, it's like the
Protector.
most generic. Again, like you wouldn't even think about
Yeah, because like if it were a movie like Man on Fire, where it was like him and a child, like that would be Protector. But like who is he protecting?
it. He's not protecting the girl. The girl's out of the
No.
picture for
Yeah. She's
90% of the movie.
When
He's in a drug case.
she's like,
He didn't protect that guy
and
on the
again,
boat.
she's
He got
not that.
stabbed in the eye and
No,
blown up.
she.
Like,
You know what? He's actually not very. He's not very
he
much a
didn't protect
protector at
his
all.
original partner. He's a terrible protector.
Yeah, you know what? This is a terrible title. So, Vin, did you see the other version of this?
No.
So,
I
what do you
did
have you
read
seen?
up on
Yo, you read up on
like
it?
what the changes are.
What are the changes? So the
All the
Jackie Chan was
cursing is.
unhappy during production. He didn't get
Yeah.
along with the director. He didn't like the tone of the movie. He didn't like how violent. He didn't like how bloody it was. He was just really unhappy with it. So he
Golden
asked.
Harvest basically let him
Yeah,
like
they let
do
him.
a version.
Reshoot some stuff, re-edit some stuff out. So what is in that version? Is that version also called The Protector, or has it got a different name?
I believe it's called the Protector. It's all
Okay.
on the Wikipedia page for it, but basically like he took out all the cursing, all the nudity is taken out.
So is Danny Aiello just not in it?
Danny Aiello is in it, but they filmed like a whole bunch of new scenes for the third act.
Oh, really?
That involve that do involve, I forget if it's like a wholesale like new character or if they bring back the woman, like the daughter from the boat, and like have her do more with him.
Okay. I mean, that would make some sense.
And they take out a lot of the drug stuff at the end, like it's more just like he's a generic bad guy.
Oh, yeah. They probably take out all the naked women with the
All the
drugs,
naked,
right?
they take out all the naked women.
That mean even back then, right? That means Jackie Chan was thinking about his image.
Yeah.
Because he kind of has a squeaky clean image, right?
He does.
I mean, we know now that he's a shitty dad and he's got a gay daughter that he's kind of disowned. And also like never really loved because she was born out of him cheating on his wife, and then that woman got pregnant, so he sees her as illegitimate, like he's a fucking medieval king or something. But he does have a squeaky queen, a squis, squeaky
Maybe he
queen.
does have a squeaky queen.
Hey, you know what I was just thinking? Like they say, like some of these elements later come up in SuperCop, but some of these elements also come up in Rush Hour.
Oh
Doesn't
yeah,
Rush Hour
absolutely.
feel like a much more polished version of this?
Absolutely. Like this definitely feels like a proto Rush Hour. Like if you watch this and then immediately watch Rush Hour, you would be like, "Wow, did the team behind Rush Hour like watch this first and think like, well, we could do this better or like more polished?"
Yeah, and it's a little funnier. See, that's the thing. I think I said in the beginning, I feel like this movie would be like not a classic, but like more well known if it had better some other elements turned up. I feel like if the action were like 10% better, it would be more well. I feel like if the comedy were 10% more, not better, just more, because there's comedy, but it doesn't lean into it. Whereas
Yeah.
like something like Rush Hour does.
Yeah.
And also, like in Rush Hour, they lean into the fact that he's kind of a fish out of water, Jackie Chan. Whereas in this, despite the fact that his English is really bad, like they don't ever really talk about the fact that
No, they play it very, they
they
play it
play it
very
like he's,
straight.
which is fine. Speaking of Rush Hour was directed by Brett Ratner, who has a movie out this weekend.
Does he?
Yes, it's called Melania.
Wait a minute. He
Yes, Brett Ratner directed the documentary
directed
Melania.
it.
Yes. Which, by the way, they're saying cost millions of dollars. For what? It's a documentary. Does that mean he just
Yeah,
paid
what?
Trump's millions of dollars? It's just
That's what I
Bezos
think.
buying, it's just a bribe from Bezos, right?
What is the deal with this Melania? Because I saw the trailer for it like a couple months ago. And like most people, I think I just thought like, oh, there may be like some, interesting revelations from it. And it's like they
Oh, I'm
follow
sure
Melania
not.
around, like whatever. But like the past, I don't know if you've been seeing like the past week, it feels like everyone's been like, nah, this documentary sucks. Like it just,
Well,
it feels like
it's
a, so is it like
hugely,
a fluff piece? Like,
yeah, and also like people are reveling in the fact that like in some country, like one ticket was sold. Like
yeah.
it's like it's a gigantic failure. But of course, who knows if it was ever really meant to be a success? I think it was just meant for Bezos to, you know, some CEOs give Trump made up awards. Bezos gave him a movie for his wife.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have sympathy for her, but
Oh,
now
I
I
never
don't.
had sympathy for her. Remember in
Yeah.
the first term when she was talking about like what was like she was doing like the Christmas stuff at the White House,
Yeah.
and she was caught on mic like talking about like I don't want to do this, like who cares about these people, blah blah blah. It's like,
Yeah. She's a fucking shitty person. Yeah. But anyway, so this has been our episode of Melania. No,
should we do an episode of Melania?
I would just I would watch it for the lulls, but I in no way want to
I would
pay
not
for it.
record and yeah.
No. And
I don't want to have to advertise that we saw Melania and hey, come
no,
check
I
out
know
this
it's funny,
episode.
like it's got that typical Rotten Tomatoes thing where the critics, it's got like fucking like it's rotten, but the users it's positive. It's like in the
Oh.
90s because it's all bots or cultists or whatever it is. But they're not buying fucking tickets, these
That's like,
people.
you know what is actually really good? That
What?
like again, people coming out of the woodwork being like, oh, it's ruining the franchise. Starfleet Academy.
I haven't watched that yet, but I did see that Stephen Miller was mad because there was a shot with three female actresses in it, and that's enough to make him mad.
What?
There was a shot where
Like
there's just,
literally just like a shot that passed the Bechdel test.
yeah, and he was like, what happened to Star Trek? Women, am I right?
What? Like there's never been a scene in Star Trek that has three women in it?
Well, people love to, for people that won the election, they love to always, they never want to win. They love to always be unhappy. They love to always gripe.
First off, don't fucking watch it then. Like,
Yeah. So you think Starfleet Academy is good?
I think it's really good.
I haven't watched it yet. I kind of, I'm in the last season of Discovery, so I kind of want to finish Discovery because I know
What
it's
have you
after Discovery.
what have you thought of Discovery? Because like now you're far enough in it where, spoiler alert, you can turn this episode off now if you want to spoil for Discovery, a show that's been on for like 8 years now. But like after the time jump, do you think that it got better? Because that seems to be the consensus that like even then it feels like a little too late. Like they should have just.
The whole show's uneven. Like every season seems to be trying something different, but not in a creative way, more in a we're trying to steer the ship way.
Doesn't it feel so like, do
The
you
first
agree with
season's
me?
super dark and it's super trying to
Yes.
be like not your daddy's Star Trek. But then season two feels very Star Trek-y, with Spock and all that. And then I guess my favorite season has probably been three, the first season after they do the time jump.
I agree because there's a lot of like adventure, like new figuring out like what's going on kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
But do you agree with me? Because like I said this a long time ago, that it really feels like, I don't even mean this in a bad way, that Discovery was unfortunately like a test run for like let's get all the kinks out, let's figure out what people want and what they like. And then like now you see with like Strange New Worlds and that third season of Picard and Starfleet Academy that like it's like okay, now we're off to the races. Now we know what this should be.
Yes. Yeah. I do agree with that. Yeah, because they clearly didn't know what they it's there's growing pains there. There's growing pains there. You could see it. But I mean on a whole I like Discovery. And I like Strange New Worlds a lot. I felt like the last season was kind of weak, but you know, I don't hate it. Some people really hate it on the last season.
I think you'll really like Starfleet Academy. If you like Strange New Worlds, Because especially because this also does the cool thing where it starts off where Discovery left off, but almost like sort of making a clean break where it's like, hey, we're reintroducing Starfleet Academy. Like, we're building up the Federation. Like, it feels like a really good starting point for people to
Yeah.
like jump back in.
I will watch it. I will watch it. Right now I'm watching Steven Universe. Because
Oh,
I like to
really?
come to things extremely late.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, this has been a secret Star Trek episode. But listen, let's wrap it up. Vin, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
Vin,
no problem.
what are you doing over there on the internet? You've been doing something with tapes and boom boxes. What are you doing?
I do have a separate Instagram account, hit underscore cassettes, where it's just whenever I get a new cassette, I post a little clip of my boom box that I bought playing it. It's like an 80s.
Now, do you walk around with that boom box?
No, I wish. It does take batteries, but the battery casing is like very rusted out, so I have to end up plugging it in. But
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So check Vin out there. This
yeah,
has
do
been
that.
PCMC. Vin, thank you so much for being here. We end every episode by saying
Go bye bye.